EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was anybody above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merger 295. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And it is such. Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls.
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
Let's not take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello and welcome to the show, everyone, wherever in the world you are joining us from. You know, this show is listened to literally all around the world. So I'm looking for more witness accounts from the state of Alaska, Iceland, and South America. Encounters with UFOs, the paranormal, and the unexplained. Keep those emails coming in. Tonight's guest is Brandy from Iowa in the US, and her encounters which began at the age of just 5 years old. Many strange occurrences Brandy will be sharing with us this episode. If you enjoy listening to the podcast and would like to help support my work, there is a couple of ways to do this. Either you can join Patreon and become a patron of the show for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate via PayPal. And if you like, you can set up monthly reoccurring payments. All links to support the podcast are below in the show notes and on the website. Any help is extremely appreciated, and it helps the show to continue running. Now, on with the show. Hello, Brandy. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Thank you so much for coming on. And you're calling from Iowa?
Yes, just outside Omaha.
Just off the river, is it?
Right.
Oh, yep. Good stuff. Okay, that's great. Now, your experiences are lifelong and also ongoing. Would you like to start at the very beginning for us, please, Brandy?
Yes. So the first memory, well, I shouldn't even say memory, the first experience I've ever had, I was actually just a little baby. And my mom is the one that has told the story to me over and over. And she will tell it the same way every single time and never misses a beat with it. So I 200% believe her when she tells this. But apparently there was one night where I was sleeping with her in her bed, and I don't know if I was like 6 months, I was little, and I had a tendency of kicking the blankets off, and it was in the middle of winter, and she saw a shadow of a person standing in her bedroom doorway. She thought it was my dad and thought it was strange that he was just standing there staring at her and kind of wondered like why he wasn't coming in the bedroom. And then she noticed the shadow come over to the side of the bed where I was, pulled the blankets up over me, patted me on the back, and then backed into the corner of the closet and disappeared. But as she was trying to turn and face who she thought was my dad, she realized she couldn't move. She could move her eyes, but she was completely paralyzed. She couldn't do anything until that shadow actually backed into the closet, disappeared, and the minute it disappeared, she could move again. And so she didn't for whatever reason, she didn't say anything to my dad about it that night. But the next day, she confronted him and asked why he was standing in the doorway watching them sleep. And he said that wasn't him. So she was completely flabbergasted as to what happened. And so I guess my strange occurrences started off really, really early in life. But when I was probably about, I would say, 5 years old, I lived right next door to my grandparents. And my parents were working. It was during the summer. And my grandparents would watch me throughout the day, but sometimes I would just go to my house to go play, and then I would go down to her house for lunchtime. And that day I was sitting in my bedroom just playing with my toys, and there was a little girl that came to my window. My bedroom windows, I had four, two on each side of the corner, and I would say these windows are at least 10 to 12 feet up off the ground. And there was nothing outside for her to stand on to be outside of the windows. So she tapped at the windows and wanted me to come out and go play. So I ran out the back door and met her. And so we were sitting on the swing set, and it was one of those, the pole style swing sets from the 90s that had like a double facing swing on the one side. And she was sitting on the opposite side of me, and I remember her asking me a question. And at the time, I don't remember, like, I still to this day don't remember what she said, but at the time, whatever she asked me upset me so badly. I remember thinking that I didn't ever want her to come over and play again. Thinking back, I think she must have come more than one time, because I remember saying to her, I don't want you to come over and play again. After that point, I don't remember what happened, other than the next thing I knew, I was standing in my backyard, which would be directly on the backside of my bedroom, which would have been where she was tapping at my window for me to come out and come play. And behind our house was an orchard and a little small garden, but it was kind of fenced off, so you really couldn't see into it very well. But sitting in this orchard was this, what I would call like a little black scout ship, something. It seemed very small to me. And she was standing there then with like two other boys, or at least who I thought looked like my brothers at the time, but they didn't live with me. So I thought it was weird that they were there. And I was begging the one boy, I said, please don't make me go. Please don't make me go. And the boy just stood there kind of like with this like empathetic look, like, I understand, but like said nothing, made no comments about anything. And I don't remember going in. But the next thing I remember from there was being in there and laying on this like black table, but face down, like I was belly down. And I remember like being told or having a sense of knowing that I was not to turn around. I was not to look, because this girl, or who I thought was a girl, was talking to someone else in there. And I went from being sad and upset to just pure livid that I, for whatever reason, wasn't allowed to look. But when I was in there, it was this dark, kind of a cross between like gunmetal gray and black everything. And it had this amber lighting that kind of ran across just above the floor, but you couldn't see the source of the light. So I don't know if there were like panels that it was tucked behind, but I remember thinking it was so odd that I couldn't see a light bulb or, you know, a strand of lights. And I was so upset. And then the next thing I remember, I woke up in bed. It was nighttime. It was dark out. And I had a day bed at the time. And I just woke up and I was sobbing. And I just remember thinking, oh my gosh, it was just a terrible dream. Oh, I feel so much better. But the odd thing was, looking back, before I had gone to the swing set with her, I had asked the girl how she got up to the window. And she said she just climbed, which we just had that like vinyl siding at the time. And I still can't quite, I never could understand how she got up there and stayed up there the way she did. But I do remember weeks after, I had friends come over, and I remember showing them that you could get up to the window by climbing it. So I know, thinking back, that whole occurrence was 100% real. But in the moment, it just seemed like a dream. And I think I wanted it to be a bad dream. And so I must have just tucked it into my subconscious. But for a while after. I must have remembered it in much better detail because I remember telling one of my cousins about the situation, and I had told her that the girl had looked like me. But today, like, I can't remember what she looks like to this day, but I remember telling her at the time that she had looked like me, but she had all black eyes. My cousin told me that story had stuck with her for years, and that that was the one part of the story she could not shake because it freaked her out. And that's just, it was just over time, that was one thing I completely forgot about. I remember certain parts of that situation, but I didn't remember that detail until she told me. And then I remembered the blonde hair and her face in the window. And it's creepy. It's creepy to think that this stuff happens, and in some part of your brain, it didn't seem that abnormal until you look back on it 20, 25, 30 years later, and you realize how disturbing the whole situation was. And that wasn't the last of it, but that was the one time I actually remember being taken. And she just looked like a normal girl. And I knew that she had come before. I also realized that when she had come, it probably would have been before my parents came home from work. So I would say anywhere between like 1-2 in the afternoon. And then when everything wrapped up, it was well after bedtime. So I somehow that day, I lost like an entire evening with my family. And they wouldn't remember that night for me to go back and ask where was I or what happened, but it's just gone. That one hung with me for a long time. But fast forward, I was probably the one I was telling you about earlier, when I was 11 and I was with my mom in our local Kmart, and she ducked off to go into another aisle, I think, to look at vacuum stuff. And I didn't want to look at any of that. I was, you know, pre-teenager and too cool to do any of that stuff. So I went into the arts and crafts aisle and was kind of browsing around when I noticed this couple. There was a girl and a guy. And I remember the girl had deep red hair, like almost dyed. And she had really kind of bony, masculine features. And the guy was a little shorter with dark hair. Can't remember if he had a beard or not, but in my mind, I think he did. And they were both wearing the same black trench coat. And they had those 90s style metal frame bug-eyed looking sunglasses on. And I remember thinking it was so strange because it was in the middle of the department store. And I always just thought anybody that wore sunglasses inside of a store was just odd, for one. But they were looking around like they were looking for somebody and not like they were shopping. And they came up to me when I was in the aisle. And I remember trying to just shake it off. I didn't want to notice them noticing me. And so I just kept trying to browse through the stuff. And I finally did turn and face them. And they're just stone-faced, no expression, staring at me, not at anything in the aisle, just facing me directly. And so I asked them, I said, "Can I help you?" Because I was feeling kind of bratty and kind of annoyed that they're in this store with sunglasses on and staring right at me. I thought it was rude. And the guy asked me, "What's your sign?" And he asked it in this flat, it was just such a weird way that he asked such a weird question. And I remember being taken aback, like, what kind of a question is this? And so I go, "What do you mean? Like Sagittarius?" And I just stared at him. I was just so, I flabbergasted. Like, what kind of a question is that? And they just stared at me. They said nothing else. And they just kept giving me this cold, empty stare. And I hightailed it out of that aisle. I went and found my mom. We checked out. We left. And I remember saying to her at the checkout, I was like, "I think those are aliens." And this other gal laughed. But I felt like they weren't 100% human. That's the only thing I can say. I don't know what they were, what they wanted. And I kind of wished I could go back to just ask them why they asked that question, why they wanted to know, and what it meant. But I'll never get that situation back again. So I do not know. It's just, it was completely bizarre. There was a a few years later, this was probably about the time I was really waking up to everything that was going on. I think I've in some form or another known, but I've always kind of been able to tuck all these events just away in a certain part of my brain that I could just ignore and focus on the rest of my life. But right before I got married, my husband and I, he had moved in with me actually, and we lived in this farmhouse, and this house actually had a U-shaped driveway. It was gravel. And I'm going to say it was like a dream, but not a dream, but felt very dreamlike. I woke up standing in my driveway, staring at the gravel in the back part of my car. And I remember telling myself in that minute, I have to remember this when I wake up. I have to remember this when I wake up. And I was taking in the detail of the rocks, and it had a very hyper vivid quality to it. Like, not a complete waking state, but in such a way that I was taking in, it was kind of a head in the fishbowl feeling. And I had remembered that we had a yard lamp that was right by that part of the driveway. It had burned out a couple weeks prior. And so there was no light anywhere outside other than the moon. And I realized as I'm standing behind my car that it is bright, like very, very bright, like spotlight bright. And it clicks in my head that the spotlight was broke. And so I worked myself up to look up. And as soon as I look up and see the underside of this thing, it hit me with the light. And when I say it hit me, it felt like it hit every fiber of my body. And the next thing I know, I was being not set, not dropped, but slammed into my bed. And the other odd thing was when I was standing outside, I had noticed it was a full moon and it was kind of a brightly lit night because of it. And when I was tossed into my bed, I remember it feeling very electrical in the air. There was this almost kind of like a helicopter sound, this like whoop, 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 whoop sound, but I could both hear it and feel it. It was both kind of a sound and a vibration at the same time. My husband never woke up. He didn't stir. The cat on the bed didn't even budge. I sat up thinking, oh gosh, was that like a terrible nightmare? And I turned out to look out the window, and the moon was the exact same. The next day, I had taken notice of where I had parked my car and where he had parked his car, which we had parked differently every single day. They were the exact same as they were when I was standing out behind my car. And that was kind of the start of all of the weird and wild things that started happening. And this was probably around 2013. This would have happened. And by like 2015, a lot of weird and strange things were happening. But this was about the time that I was really waking up to all of the events. And I would wake up with bruises on the inside of my arms, thumb marks on my forearm. And a lot of these marks would match dreams where I would be dreaming about them and fighting with them and being stressed out because of it. And then just putting the two and two together that these weren't just bad dreams, that this was real and it was happening. And my husband, bless his heart, I think he was just shell-shocked to see this stuff happen and not experience it. But he's taken it pretty well over the years. Things have greatly calmed down since that time. Shortly after we got married, we had two boys, and I think things have kind of calmed down. But there's been a few events with them kind of make me think that it is definitely familial, because my dad has experienced stuff too. And I'll actually tell one story. When he was a teenager and he was living at home, he would go out and walk around in the woods. They lived out in the country, and there oftentimes people would pull like in their cornfield, just kids, young kids, they'd go drink or make out or do whatever. And he thought he'd be funny to go sneak up behind this car and just go mess with them and scare them to get them off the property. he was a product of the 60s. So I'm sure this was his way of walking around, probably like smoking pot or something. But he remembers walking to this back part of the field and seeing these red lights, thinking they were the car's brake lights. And the closer he got to the lights, he realized it wasn't a car. And he says he remembers nothing other than walking up, realizing that they were not car lights. And then all of a sudden walking away from it, not knowing how, he turned around and just saying to himself, well, that was weird. Well, that was weird. And he's told me some other things too that make me think that he's had experiences, but it took him years to tell me that story. And it was only because I drug it out of him that he told me that, because in that same location that he ran into these lights in the field and in the woods was where I had been going on a walk with one of my friends. It was our family farm. And I remember I had a friend over, and we'd like to go on adventures, and we'd go walk up the creek, go walk through the woods. And we got to this back part, and I'd never really explored it as a kid. So I figured, you know, I've got company, and we were feeling adventurous. So we went to go check out this part of the property, and it was very beautiful, but I felt watched. I got this feel of unease, and I remember coming back and saying, it was just the strangest thing, that it was so pretty, and we kind of wanted to stay, but we got such a terrified feeling being in there that we just skedaddled. And I tried to go back one other time, and I got creeped out, and I couldn't go. But he told me at that time when I had my friend over, he's like, someday I'll tell you about that story. And it was probably about 15 years later, I drug it out of him. And that was exactly where he ran into those lights. But he's always made comments. He's like, I sometimes don't think my parents are my parents. But he won't really talk about that sort of stuff. But we did have one night where we had a shared experience. It was in the middle of the night, and I would say probably like 2 a.m, and out of a dead sleep, it sounded like a bomb going off. I looked it up, and I've since learned that it's something called exploding head syndrome. It can happen when you're stressed out, I guess. There's not a lot known about it, but people have likened it to the sound of a bomb or a plane crashing or just some loud explosion. And I woke up, and I honestly thought a bomb had gone off. And I sat up in bed, and the air felt electrical. There was just this vibration. And I experienced that sound, that whoomp, 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 the almost like a helicopter sound, but a little slower. And I was able to shake it off and go back to sleep. And I was talking to my dad about it, and I told him how just like bizarre it was. And I had figured out what it was called, but I, to this day, have never had it again. And I don't understand why it happened to me. But he said that he had the very same thing that same night happened to him. He was asleep in his bed, and he heard something, and his first thought was a plane had crashed outside, that it was so loud. He ran out of bed and went out the front door to look to see what had crashed, and there was nothing there. And just the simple fact that him and I had the same, just a strange thing happen on the very same night, is, it just kind of connects so many dots. So it's very weird.
Yeah, it is unusual that you and your father heard this sound. And, you know, I don't think, you know, if it was like a exploding head syndrome, it would be shared with anyone, would it? I think it'd just be the one individual that is suffering the stress. So that is very unusual. Did you ever actually tell him about your experiences?
Yes. He is probably one of the few people I've told him, and pretty much my mom and my husband are the only souls that have ever heard the full versions. I've made off comments to my friends and stuff, and they just think that I've, you know, had a weird luck of the draw with having haunted houses since I was a kid. But it was always easier to play stories off as hauntings as opposed to, you know, being taken. Sometimes I kind of wonder, though, my grandpa was in the military, and I kind of feel like there's a big connection with having military family members. And he was, don't remember what his title was, but he was involved in communications somehow. And he was also a teacher for them. And he did a lot of engineering stuff. My dad probably could pop off what his title was, but it was, I don't think it, whatever his position was, is something they still currently have. I can't help but to think whatever he may have been involved in, maybe why my dad and me and probably my kids are experiencing.
It is quite often the case. Generations of a family can be involved. I don't ever really like to jump to conclusions, and but it is, you know, does seem patterns and similarities.
Right. Yeah. And I sometimes think that when you're with a person that is being taken, they take interest in you too, because my husband has lived like the most normal life. Like I don't think he's had anything weird or strange happen to him until he's lived with me. And there was right after we had our first son, and I'd woken up with a like triangular, like three pronged bruise on the inside of my left bicep. And it was either around the same day or within that same week, he had the same mark on his thigh. And it's just one of those weird shapes. It's like, how do you get a bruise like that? And, you know, on areas like, for whatever reason, the inside of my left bicep is usually the one that always shows most of the markings. But I kind of speculate if maybe that has something to do with the side of the bed that I've slept on and the side that I sleep on. Maybe that's my more accessible side for them. And I don't know. They're opportunists, too, because my husband, he sometimes, very rarely, he goes out of town for work. And there was one year where he went just for like an overnight. And I hate being by myself, mostly for this reason alone. But so I had my son in bed with me and I left the TV on. It just provides me a little bit of comfort when I'm by myself. And after a certain time, it does go to like a dark screen, but you can still, it still kind of dimly lights up the room. And I, that night, woke up sitting up in bed, and I was facing one of them, and it was standing directly between my closet doors and my bedroom door, staring at me. And I remember staring back at it, not feeling scared, not feeling anything, and thinking that it was one of those weird moments where I felt, okay, I see you. I should start feeling really scared right about now. And about the moment that I thought that, I blanked out, and I remember just having a weird dream about being in a circular room with a bunch of doctors. That was all that I could remember that night. I don't remember if I woke up with anything after that, but in that moment when I was staring at it, I remember feeling it in my head too. I could feel its thoughts, and I could feel it feel my thoughts. And it was just the instantaneous moment that as soon as I remember thinking I should start freaking out, it was like I was in a completely different place. I'm going to call it a dream, but I was in this doctor's office. It was a round white room, and I was going into surgery. I don't know what for. And I remember being at peace with it. I think in my mind that these were like friends or coworkers, and they were happy for me, thinking it was weird. I didn't know what I was having surgery for, but I felt okay about it.
Can you actually remember any details about the form itself?
Yeah, I would say it's your typical gray, but I feel like a lot of the images you see of them is never quite right. This one, I think, would probably be a taller one because its head came to right about the middle of this picture I had hanging on the wall, and it, I could stand and face it, and I'm 5'4". So I felt like it had to have been just as tall as me, or maybe just slightly shorter, but slender, just black eyes. But and I remember thinking it was weird that I didn't like wake up and sit up. I woke up sitting up. So it was almost kind of like they were putting me back and I came too quickly. And they had to correct the situation. Or maybe they were taking me and I came out of whatever trance they tried to put me in. If you really want to fight it, you can. But it takes a lot of concentration, and I feel like it irritates them.
Introducing the High Strangeness Coffee Blend by Redacted Coffee Company, a medium roast of the Brazilian kind. This medium roast offers flavors of chocolate and vanilla combined with a distinct fruity taste and a unique sweet floral aroma. The experience of high strangeness doesn't end there. with a sweet butter aftertaste that doesn't fade as your coffee cools. This coffee regains its flavors all the way through your cup, ensuring it truly is good to the last drop. The veteran-funded, employee-owned Redacted Coffee Company and UFO Chronicles podcast have partnered together to bring you the best coffee on and off the planet. Get 20% off your first order now at redactedcoffee.com/UFO. That's redactedcoffee.com/UFO. Or follow the link below in this episode's description or click on the banner of my website. This podcast is fueled by coffee oozing high strangeness. So what are you waiting for? Wake up to the strange.
When you want to try and remember, and sometimes they'll let you, like if you ask, you know, just say, I want to remember part of this, you do. I don't know whether that's a blessing or a curse, but that's just been my experience. And sometimes I've just asked, can you calm it down? Like, I just need a break. And then I feel like I don't have any experiences for a long while, or at least I don't remember. It's really hard to tell because there are some nights where I am a big dreamer and I'm a vivid dreamer. And I would say I probably dream every single night. And there are some nights where I feel like I lay my head down on the pillow and the next thing I know, it's time to wake up and I feel exhausted. And, you know, I've noticed it with my son too. And he's five. He should have an endless vault of energy. And there's just some days he's dragging even at the end of the day when I pick him up from daycare. And he'll tell me, Mom, I'm just so tired. I just didn't get enough sleep. And I know he's with me, or I lay him down. I know what time he's going to bed. I know what time I'm waking him up. And he should be getting, you know, enough sleep in a night. And I just can't help but to think that, you know, those are just nights that stuff's happening. And we have zero recollection.
And he's never mentioned anything.
You know, he's an interesting little soul. My youngest is, you know, his speech is still just, he's three. So he really can't tell me much of what's going on. But my five-year-old, he said some things that I honestly think he's had past lives. He tells me about his grandma, and it's not my mom and it's not my husband's mom. And he tells me all these stories of things he did and just things that a little kid shouldn't know. And yeah, he's just, there's something different about him too. He's smart. He's extremely smart. And he's got a big interest in this stuff. And I try to, when I'm reading about books like this, or if I'm watching a show, like I try to keep that carefully to myself. I don't want to taint his experience, but I find he's just as interested by these topics. I was that little kid that was scared and obsessed with learning about aliens and Bigfoot and Egypt and, you know, those big mysteries, like early on. And I see so much of that in him too. And there was one night where we had just put his toddler bed in his room. We had it in our room for a little bit to get him adjusted to his bed. And I woke up to seeing a flash. And right after the flash, it sounded like him falling out of bed, which his toddler bed was only, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 inches off it was low. He shouldn't have made that sort of a sound. But it almost sounded like a body being thrown off of a bed, or it just didn't make sense. And then he started screaming. We run in there. We had cameras set up in the house, but none of them were in a position to where we could see the flash or make anything out of it other than just you heard the thump and then you heard him screaming. So I don't know if he was being brought back and he got tossed out of his bed. It had been the flash that woke me up, and we tried to go back and scrutinize all the videos, but there was just, in the end, there was nothing more that we can make out of it. The booms and the bangs is a common thing. Just two nights ago, I woke up it was 3:06 in the morning, and I don't know whether something had exploded outside or something big. It sounded like something could have either fallen or crashed or banged downstairs, but nothing was out of place. we live next to a golf course, so there was really nothing outside that we noticed could have made that sound. Even at our old house, I would be working from home some days, and it would sound like a bookshelf or some big cabinet had fallen over and just slammed onto the floor. Like, I would hear big booms, and I would go upstairs and there would be nothing amiss. I'd go outside just to make sure that a tree limb hadn't fallen on the roof. There'd be nothing. Nothing would be broken. Nothing would be tipped over. But we would just have these random things happen. And I don't know if it's just sometimes they like to toy with you, or if it's something you do by proxy of being tapped into them, if it's not like a poltergeist thing. When everything was kind of coming to fruition to me back in like 2015, I was getting overwhelmed with it. Like it felt like there was an external force driving me to learn, research, take in what I could. And it was almost like I had a self-guiding system. Like I knew where to look. I knew what books to read. I knew which interviews sounded hokey. Like it was just like something was pushing me to just cram in all this information hard and fast. And I think in a way, somehow you kind of have one foot in this world and one foot on the other side of the veil. And I think your energy, your spirit, whatever you want to call it, reflects that, because I was having computer problems at work. I would be doing simple tasks and my computer screens would flicker out and go dead. I pretty much nuked two computers at work. The graphics card would go out on them. Our phones bleep like somebody was talking through the phone. When we had a house phone, we didn't keep that for very long. The kitchen lights would flicker when I would stand under them. And oftentimes we went through light bulbs like crazy. And it was around Christmas time. I had three little decorative Christmas trees and I had little lights strung on them. And these were not the kind of lights that had the settings that you could, you know, have flash, alternate, nothing like that. And I was folding clothes and I noticed these lights are just flashing like crazy. So just as a form of an experiment, I backed away and they stopped. They stayed on. I stepped closer to them. They'd start flashing. I finally just gave up and I just unplugged them because I thought it was just so strange. But we still have that problem. And we had, oddly enough, problems with clocks. We had in our old farmhouse, two houses ago, we had a clock that was hardwired into the wall. It was not battery. It was kind of a 50s retro style thing. And it was old, but it would keep time for months perfectly. And then just one night, it would just be 20 minutes behind, or it would be fast a little bit. And we would reset it. It would stay fine for a couple of months. And then it would just seem like when things were happening to me or in the house, the clock would mess up. And that followed us. We moved to not the house we're in now, but the one before. Got a new clock, had a new set of batteries. We moved. And the clock started running 20 minutes slow. And I figured, screw it. I know it's 20 minutes slow. I'm just leaving it that way. It kept time for a while. And then there was one day I came home and then it had jumped 20 minutes, or 40 minutes faster. So now it was 20 minutes fast from normal time. At that point, I just threw the clock away. I was like, I'm starting over. And my dad, for the longest time, could not wear a wristwatch. He said he would just drain the batteries. And I remember in high school, I would try and wear a wristwatch too. And I felt like I was changing the battery every couple of weeks. So I stopped wearing them myself. So I really do feel like when things are especially firing up, changes your energy somehow. And it eventually calms down after a little bit. But, you know, I would have problems with the electronics in my car. If this could be a superpower, this was the worst superpower to have, because I could never rein it in to my own benefit. But I don't know if it's just a byproduct of being wherever they take you, if it changes you somehow, or whatever they're doing on the other end. It affects your physical here.
In your family, is there anybody with psychic abilities or anything like that?
Well, it's funny you say that. My mom's mom, she would always say she would have premonition type dreams. And my cousin on that side of the family, she's probably the most like me. We've shared our weird stories together, and she's had her own interesting things that have happened to her. But she's a very empathetic personality, and she's had a lot of premonitions happen. I have in small forms, but it's usually in a dream form. I'll dream about something, and then maybe not in the exact way it happens in my dream, but I would say at least 50% of what's happening does come to fruition within like a day or two. My grandma, before she got put into a nursing home, was living alone. My grandpa had passed, and I dreamt I was in the house and he was there, and I knew he was dead. And I was talking to him, and he had this weird light around him, just this like really warm glow. And in my dream, my grandma is just, she was busy in the kitchen as she always was. She was just a farm wife, and that's just kind of how she always was. And she was busy running from counter to counter, and it was like she didn't know we were there in the dream. And I talked to my grandpa, and I said, "You're dead." And he kind of just smiled at me. And I said, "She doesn't know we're here." And he kind of, you know, just kind of kept looking at me. He never verbally said anything. And I said, "She needs help," because at this point she had Alzheimer's, and it was really starting to set in and affect her memory and just her daily living. And the very next day she had fallen and couldn't get up. And she had been on the floor for the better part of a day and a half. And at that point, she got put into a nursing home. And I kind of felt like that was Grandpa's way of looking out for her and having a sense of knowing that things were changing in her life for her. And I was there. I was aware of it. And actually had just last week, I had a cousin who, him and his wife, they were expecting a baby. They weren't very far along. She was only probably about 10, 11 weeks. But I had a dream that I had been approached by another friend and said that your friend that is pregnant has lost the baby and you need to go to her. And for whatever reason in my dream, I thought it was my best friend who's also expecting. But as I woke up, I realized that that day, the night before I had the dream, was the night before my cousin's wife was going in, because she had had some spotting and was going to get the baby checked to make sure everything was okay. And that was the day they found out they lost the baby. So the dream was about her. And I still haven't had the heart to tell her that I've had this dream, because I don't really want to upset her. But I knew before they told me that she had already lost the baby.
But it's a difficult one to approach, that one.
Yeah.
Having experienced the same thing, it is very difficult.
Yeah.
Let alone just knowing what to, you know, what to say.
Right. I basically just texted him and I said, you know, "I'm thinking of you. Say my prayers."
Sure.
Because you can't say, "Hey, I dreamt about you and I dreamt you lost the baby and, you know, I hope everything's okay." You can't say those things. So it's kind of, I don't know.
Maybe further down the line, you know, if they...
Further down.
Yeah. If they do get lucky later on, then maybe after that.
They're a very spiritual couple, and I would think, especially my cousin, being in his faith, like I think that he would see it as a gift and not anything other than that. But yeah, those feelings are still pretty raw for them. So we'll keep that to myself for a while.
Yeah, and it's something that doesn't really go away as well.
No, and sometimes, you know, being like such a vivid dreamer and having all these experiences, sometimes it's hard to tell like what's real and what's, you don't really know until it happens and you're like, "Oh yeah, I dreamt this." So I feel like there's definitely a heavy intuitive gift that's kind of been passed down, and I don't know if I am the way that I am because my mom came from a family that had certain gifts, and you know, maybe my dad side of the family had their own, and maybe they were brought together or maybe because they both came together is why, you know, my family now has had experiences. It's definitely been a thought I've mulled over many, many times, but I the more I read and the more I hear other people's stories, it makes me feel better that I'm not the only one this sort of strange stuff happens to. And I guess I don't feel so alone.
Oh, you're not alone. There's people like you all over the world. I mean, your little five-year-old, for instance, you were saying he was having these past life memories?
He will talk about how he lived with his grandma, and he can't remember her name, but he calls her grandma. And they lived in a house in the woods, and he was telling me about driving with her one day. And so just out of curiosity, I never try and ask leading questions. I just let him tell me the facts as he knows them. But I was just out of curiosity asking him, well, what kind of a car did she have? What color was it? And the way he was describing it, I think he was trying to describe the color of rust, but he couldn't, he doesn't know rust. And, you know, it's just certain details that he talks about. And earlier this summer, we were sitting outside and he was picking flowers and he was getting kind of aggravated. And I said, what's the matter, buddy? And he goes, oh, I just have to pick all these weeds. And I said, no, you don't. Why do you say you have to pick them? He's like, oh, my grandma used to make me do this. I didn't like it, but I would just do it anyways. I'll just do five more and go inside. And he was just so irritated with the task. And I wasn't making him pull the weeds out of the grass. And it was just like he had feelings left over from a memory. And I believe him. I totally believe that people can have past lives. And somehow he's still tapped in. I've tried asking him about his grandma, about his grandpa. And from the things I've gathered, I don't think the grandpa was with the grandma, but he was, you know, a figure in that lifetime. And he will talk about how he had an uncle who also lived near there, and that he was his grandma. He knows perfectly well that she's not alive. He knows that she's dead, right? But the way he tells it, he goes, well, you know, because she lived a long time, she had way too many birthdays. So he knows that she was old and he knows that she's not here. But sometimes the way he talks about her, it's almost like she's still a present figure. And there's spans of time where I feel like that's all he talks about. He knows that I'm his mom here, and he knows and loves his family here. But he also knows that he has a grandma somewhere else. That's not, you know, either of his current grandmas.
That's interesting. You certainly want to make a note of it somehow, whether, you know, you take notes or you record and talking, because obviously, you know, he won't remember this forever. Sooner or later, it will pass.
Yep.
Yeah. You don't want to ask leading questions, but just say something like, you know, what did grandma used to call you?
And, you know, I've asked that and he doesn't remember. That's where like his stories will get skewed, and then he knows himself as his name. And he told me one day we were driving by, it was a field of cows, and he told me one day that he tried to ride a cow once and it didn't work out very well. Some of these stories are pretty funny, and that he had a horse. And he told me the name of the horse, and it was something like Tricky, it was like he knew the color of the horse. And so I had him describe, I said, well, what was it like where you lived? And he basically describes, you know, something like a prairie, and not like city, not like a desert, not mountainy, like it was like grasslands. And so it's like, how many lives have you lived, bud? But yeah, he's an interesting little soul. I've definitely do. I journal anytime he says something just completely like off the wall like that. I journal those, and I journal dreams, and I journal anytime anything weird is happening in the house. Because sometimes you can look back, and then sometimes you can really start to notice particular times of the year, things fire up more than others. Sometimes it's just all over the place, and it doesn't really seem to have a rhythm or a rhyme to it. But there are times in the summer where I know activity picks up, and then I know kind of when it dies down. I figure if nothing else, one of these days I'm going to write a book. Because I've got some stories, and I've got some weird events that I would eventually at least like to put in print form for them So when they become adults and they have questions, I can be, even, you know, by then, if I forget everything, it'll be there for them. Be like, I didn't have this when I had questions. Here you go.
Yeah, it can make things a little bit easier. Plus, it'd be nice for him to see, you know, when he's older, and you could say, you know, this is what you used to say when you were young, when you were 5 years old.
Yeah, yeah. I'll be interested to see if, you know, things change in a few years, if he still remembers, because he's 5 now and he can still tell you all about it. And, you know, I really haven't noticed a whole lot out of my youngest yet, but he's just starting to learn, like, how to say full sentences. And half the time, I think he just likes to repeat what his big brother does. But my oldest, he's a deep thinker. The day he was born, he came out, he didn't cry. He just sat around and looked like he was just taking in the whole hospital room. He just had a depth to him from the get-go. And I kind of had a sneaking suspicion that there was just something to him, because I know some people say they have a lot of, like, number synchronicity. And before I was even pregnant, I would see a lot of the repeating 222-333, 9-11, 9-11, 9-11 was a big one. And I just thought it was odd. And by that point, I'd kind of figured out that, you know, some people have attached meaning to that. And sometimes it can correspond to what's happening in their life. I read it as far as, like, entertainment value goes. But the biggest ones that came through were 9-11 and 222. Funny story, when I was delivering him, the hospital room they put me in was 222. And he was born on 9-11. So it was in a weird way, he was introducing himself before he even came.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. it's been a wild adventure. And, you know, you don't ever get to talk about these things. I'm kind of grateful for podcasts like this where you can actually kind of just spill your guts, because you can tell people, oh, last night I woke up to this really weird thing in my room. There's very few people that have a tolerance for listening to those things. And it is just kind of nice to get it off your chest, because, you know, you can't explain to your employer why you feel just zonked. And you come into work and you really don't know what happened to you the night before. And
they won't understand why you're physically and mentally exhausted.
No, I think even if you told most people, they would still just think you were crazy. Tell you to go get on meds. It's just one of those things where you can't control it. You don't feel like you've signed up for it. But here you are. You have to silently deal with it and still try and function like a normal human being in your waking daily life. Sometimes you just kind of, you can get mad about it, or you can just roll with the punches. And we're just trying to roll with the punches. My husband, I think in his weird little way of dealing with it, we'll joke around. Like, if he doesn't get any sleep the night, he's like, oh man, I think they took me too. And it's kind of sad, but you kind of have to laugh. I don't know what this is or what it's about. I don't know if I think they're good or if they're bad. I've definitely had some frightening experiences, and I feel like I've had some enlightening ones. So I think you just have to make the best out of the situation. And I don't know if their intentions for us are good, if it's just out of curiosity. I don't know. I just know they're here. They mess with us. But my husband jokingly says, well, they bring you back. Yes, they do. But it takes a toll. That most people that deal with this, they know that it's a silent thing that you have to quietly deal with. Just have to make the best out of it.
When you were talking about your son, how he would quite often wake up tired, you know, I could hear some concern in your voice. Does it bother you that he may be going through the same kind of thing?
Yeah, yeah. You don't ever want anything to happen to your children. And I think back on some of the things that happened to me as a kid, and I was terrified. As a kid, I remember hiding under my bed because I felt like that was the safest place to be. And normally most kids think there's monsters under the bed or in the closet. And I remember, like, thinking through a game plan. If they come to get me, here's where I'm going to hide. This is how quickly I can get to this spot. Thinking that I was safe in those spots, but also in a weird way, knowing there was nowhere you were safe to go. And I remember my mom waking me up one morning. I had shimmied myself under my bed, and she was asking me why I was sleeping under my bed. And I said, I feel the most safe. In that bedroom, there was a window. And I actually, when all of my curiosity was burning at me, I went to try and go get hypnotized and get regressed and see what I could see, because I wanted answers. There was a part in the hypnosis where I was in the bed and I could tell something was on the other side of the window. And the therapist was like, "It's okay, you're safe. Go ahead and look out of the window." And I just remember telling her, "No, I can't." And I came completely out of hypnosis. There was no way I wanted to see what was out there. And I still don't think I could see it in a complete waking state. The few times I have seen them or been aware of their presence, I've kind of been in a weird lack of emotion state. I could have cared less. And I don't, that must be something they do to you. Because there was one night where I woke up and I had fallen asleep with the TV on, and it had kind of dimmed out, and I saw something run around the corner of my bed. I remember thinking, "Oh, is that a cat jumping off?" But then I noticed the cats were still on the bed. It was not my dog. She was sleeping on my pillow. So there was nothing to have jumped off, but it wasn't cat was jumping off the bed. It was literally like I saw this. It was almost like a light tan in the color of the room that was just being backlit by my TV. It's like a little round thing going unbelievably fast, faster than my cats could have jumped off of anything. But it just went boop around the corner of my bed. And you would think your natural response would be to sit up, get scared, look to see what that was. I couldn't have cared less. I rolled over, went back to bed. It's just like that. The night where I woke up sitting in bed, staring at one, it took effort for me to realize I should be scared now. And I wasn't until I thought about it. And then they did something and took my mind out of the situation I was in, because I don't think they would want to deal with me freaking out. But it's really bizarre the states they can put you in, where you're just kind of in a, I don't want to say emotionless, because you can think through your emotions, but it's just you don't care. Or like in that state, they don't terrify you, or the situation doesn't terrify you.
It's like a mental sedation, isn't it?
Yes, very much. And those few times, it feels like you're in a state that is somewhere not dreaming, not fully awake. I just always call it the head in the fishbowl feeling, where you're there, you're taking in the exact details of the room, the things that are going on, but it's not the same heavy concrete feeling of like a normal waking state. It's difficult to describe, but that's the best example I have.
That's wonderful.
Those were the biggest ones. Those are always the ones that have never left my mind. Like I could tell those to the same detail over and over. Sometimes it's the little ones that you kind of just let your mind forget about. And that's why I started journaling, because I don't want to forget and I want it to be there. And eventually my overall goal is to put it in a book. I don't know how I'm going to map it together and make it work in a flowing story, but I want it to be somewhere. I want it to be there for my kids. If they start going through the same things that I went through, they'll have something, and who knows what will come of it. But you know, I've read other people's stories of things that have happened to them, and it brought peace to me. It definitely made me feel like I'm not alone in this, and that, you know, everybody's story is just completely unique.
I agree. And also these accounts, you know, they shouldn't, it's a shame when they never get journaled and written down and they just kind of just get forgotten.
Yep. Yeah. And sometimes there's importance in the small details, where if you're talking to somebody, they're not going to ask you, "Well, what were you thinking about the time that you..." One of the stories I forgot to even mention. So right before I got married, I was coming home from dinner with my husband and, well, my boyfriend at the time. And we were driving over this viaduct, and I looked up and there was at least 10, I would say 10 to 12 reddish, amberish orbs in the sky. They were way up there, and thinking, is that my windshield? Because I had cleaned my car that day and I did a terrible job of wiping off my windshield. So it was all smeary and blurry and the streetlights were glaring everywhere. And I was kind of craning through. I'm like, "Are you seeing what I'm seeing?" And my husband was like, yep. And it was, we're counting them. And it was almost kind of like the moment we noticed them. I remember thinking, oh no, I just got past this. That was the first thought that came to my mind. And we're watching them. They're just, it's not even like they were flying away. It was just, they would instantaneously blink out. They were just gone. They didn't move. And it wasn't a time of the year where it would have been Chinese lanterns, and they were way up there. This, I don't think that was the case. And one stayed lit until we got to our next destination. And I just watched it with curiosity the whole time, and an adrenaline rush. Like, I was kind of excited to have seen something so unique, but I was also terrified, because at that point, I think subconsciously, like, I had gotten myself in a state where I had worked past some of these things, where I felt like I could move on and be a normal person. And I kept dwelling over the words I had said to myself, was I had just got past this. And there it was, right in front of me. And I couldn't help but to feel, this might sound weird and this might sound egotistical, but I felt like they were there for us. They were there for me to see. Because it was like the minute that I noticed them, they just started blipping away. And it was after that things really started hitting in hard and fast. And it was like they were saying, okay, it's time for you to remember. It's time for you to wake up. It's time for you to learn about this. And that's exactly what happened.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's been a wild ride.
You know, the best thing about this show is that everyone that listens to it all over the world, you know, they're all like-minded.
Yeah.
They're like yourself, you know, when you've heard previous guests, and it will resonate with people. You know,
I hope so.
There's things you've said tonight, you know, which someone will be listening right now. Obviously not right now, because we're not live.
Yeah. Well, that's what happened to me. That's how I ended up writing into you. Sometimes you just hear certain things about somebody's experience, and you're like, I had that. They're not alone. They're not crazy. I've had that same thing. And if it's nothing else that I can, you know, and the few times like that day, like write in and say, I've had the same thing happen, and they get to see that and they have peace of mind, then that's a good thing.
I mean, because to be honest with you, Brandy, you know, I don't really look at this show as being like entertainment. You know, I see it more as being a kind of more like a forum. So it's a nice release for you. You know, you probably said about a million times, it can be quite liberating, you know, to talk about these things. And in turn, you know, the people listening, you know, if it can help them in any way, even if it's just one person, you know, then that's job done. It's a good thing.
Yeah. Well, for a lot of people like me, it's been therapy, because when I was trying to learn and research about this whole phenomenon, like, you can only take in so many books a day, but you can listen to people's stories back to back to back at work. And, you know, it was therapy to be able to listen to shows like this one, to be able to hear people's experiences, because that's how I was able to not feel so crazy. There was definitely a time where I felt like I was in one part of my life was coming off my rocker. And, you know, hearing other people's experiences, it definitely grounded me and made me feel like, nope, you're not crazy. Yes, this happened. You're going to have to deal with that, but you're not crazy. And I mean, I appreciate people like you taking the time to do this, because you save a lot of people. You save a lot of people's sanity.
I'm very humbled the fact that people take out their time to come on, because without guests sharing their experiences like yourself, you know, there wouldn't be a show. But the amount of the feedback I receive, special to me, you know, it feels good. So I know, even if I kind of wanted to back out of doing this, I couldn't, so to speak.
No, please don't. I very much look forward to shows like yours all the time. So, we appreciate it. Even if we're just a bunch of people that are quietly listening, you know, at their jobs or, you know, while they're out for a walk. I mean, there's people taking it in and having an appreciation for it, even if you don't get the feedback. So know that that's happening.
Oh, I do. I receive the emails, all right. All different types of people from all over the world. So it's nice. So I really like to receive it, actually. It's good.
Yep. And I will say there was things that it took me time to focus on, and memories did come back for me too. And it's amazing how many things you can live with, and those little blips of events can hang in the background until you put focus on them, and you're like, wow, that was actually a really profound thing that happened. And I can't believe that my brain didn't make more of a big deal about it. But I kind of speculate that whatever they do, they kind of make you ignore it. And it's the same with like waking up and finding the bruises. For years, I would get bruises on my arms in such weird places, and I would glance at them and it was like I didn't want to look at them again. And it took great effort for me to actually start taking pictures and noting that they were happening. And I still find, like, to this day, like I'll think about it and then I'll just be like, nah, I'll do it later. But then I'll forget to do it. Kind of their just way of making you not want to remember, I guess. Shoo it under the rug.
Sure. I think some people that do remember, I think they kind of, whether they're allowed to remember or not, I think there's a lot of people out there which have experienced and will never remember. And I think that's deliberate. Yeah. They're not supposed to remember because they won't be able to deal with this type of trauma.
I kind of feel like if I would have remembered everything, that probably would have been super traumatic for me. I've been given enough to know and to answer a few questions, and in a weird way, I'm good with that. Like I'm good not knowing everything, because I don't know if I could function like a normal person every day if I remembered half of the stuff that happened. But I've been given enough to know that I'm not crazy, you know. Phenomenon's really weird and really real.
It is really real and also really weird. But it's what you really want to take out of the situation as well from your experiences. You know, you can either have it a massive weight on your shoulders, or you can kind of work with it, learn from it the best you can. Because, of course, it's difficult because there's not really any answers out there. You know, you can hear people's experiences and you can read books and stuff. But, you know, generally people don't really know the full story.
That's right. Appreciate you having me on. I enjoyed this. Thank you.
You're more than welcome. I really appreciate you coming on today, Brandy, and sharing all that for our listeners.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
All right. Keep in contact and I'll talk to you soon. All right.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you so much.
No, you're more than welcome. Thank you. That is all for this week. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com, or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website, ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Brandy for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.